Street Smart Podcast, day two of the Thrive Conference here at Minute Maid Park. Getting to sit down with Trip Edwards, CEO of Wildcat Oil Tools, a company I work for. And Trip came in last year late. We had an interview, an extended interview, and just a great opportunity now to catch up with him and find out kind of what's going on and expand on a couple of things that we talked about in that interview. So thanks for your time this morning.
Absolutely. Glad to be back.
So one of the things that we touched on in that interview, and you know, because of the way that interview is structured, we didn't dig into it a whole lot, but and we talked a little bit this morning about it, was just your leadership style and your overall experience leading people and those types of things. And you were the COO before, so you obviously had some experience leading people, but not at this level, and not with the sort of landscape that you have to look at now when you are leading people. So it'd be safe to say that as CEO, you came into it somewhat experienced, but basically inexperienced in, a long-term
right
leadership role. What are some things you're doing? I know you did your MBA and those types of things, and those will help you from a business perspective. What are you doing from a soft skills perspective when you look at getting yourself to a level of leadership that you're satisfied with?
You know, I try to be intentional about listening first, being a servant leader. I'm young. I'm surrounded by people with more experience in a lot of cases, especially in the lane that they're working in. So I try not to jump to my own conclusions and take a pulse of everything going on. But, you do have to be decisive and make a decision at some point. But I think last year I had it was actually in a Bible study, but it was a conversation about listening that really resonated with me, and I've taken that the last 12 months or so, where there's something on the tip of my tongue, and I'm one to interrupt, and I think I'm pretty smart, I guess, but if I can just bite my tongue and listen, and it's amazing, what comes out next, like with the person you're talking to, what else they'll provide, and so that's been something I've been intentional about, is listening first and taking all the expertise in the company that we have and trying to use people's skill sets to grow. Because, I'm surrounded by great people like yourself and what you're able to do, even in this podcast, like how can we use this to our advantage at Wildcat? And I think we're doing some really cool things with that. And when you go around the company, everybody's got strengths and I just try to help use those to our benefit.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying there, a lot of times I'm the same way. I've had to be intentional with the way I've focused, like listening to truly listen versus listening to wait till it's my turn to talk again.
Right.
And I think that's important. And going back to the point that you made, you learned that in a Bible study. One of my favorite verses is out of Proverbs, and I'm paraphrasing because I should have it memorized, but I don't. But basically what it says is it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
I love that.
And when I read that the first time I read it, I was like, that's a pretty harsh indictment on me personally.
Right.
And so I don't know if that was part of that Bible study, but it should have been if it wasn't.
Yeah, no, and actually the other day we were at lunch and we had the conversation about how much energy it takes for you to do the podcast with having to listen to what the person's saying, but then also make sure the conversation can continue and it's entertaining and you're on the right path and how much going through your head during that. And I think I can relate to that just in a business meeting where you're thinking about what you're going to say before the person's even finished what they're trying to relay. So that's something I've really worked on. And then you talk about the MBA and some, that was a good experience. And I think just being in the fire and operating every day.
There's not a better teacher than fire. I don't think, to your point, not only are you sitting in that business meeting thinking about what it is you need to say, but you're thinking about all of the second, third order effects of what this decision might mean for the company that you're leading. So there's a lot, to your point, going on during that conversation and trying to remain present in the conversation, or at least maintain the image of presence.
Right.
Sometimes can be challenging. When you were listening in the Bible study about being intentional with your listening and those types of things, which is actually kind of ironic. Think about, I wonder how many people had trouble listening in the listening
right.
Bible
yeah,
study. by almost definition, you have a group of people that aren't, you know, predisposed to gathering that information well. But when you were in there and they were, you said there was a lot in there that resonated with you. If you had to boil it down to one thing, would it be the, you know, just hold your tongue for a beat more, or is there something else in there that, you know, also you're like, man, that really is something I need to pay attention to?
Oh yeah, I mean, I guess spiritually, there's probably more that you could go into today, but that was one thing that I just stood out last year, and I was able to be critical of myself and that that, you know, just wait a little bit longer, and I think whoever I'm talking to, that my silence is usually helpful to sort out the situation. And then, you know, we live in this world today of podcasts and self-help, and we're always trying, like, you know, I've listened to Andrew
content.
Huberman and Peter
yeah.
Attia and all these guys that are, you know, trying to optimize ourselves. And but then sometimes it's like, you know, I can't even be silent because if I'm in the car, like, I'm listening to the podcast or I'm on the phone, or, you know, you're always on your computer. You're always engaged in something. So just trying to step back and disconnect from those things. That's something I'm not doing well right now, but I probably should do. You know, that's, we've talked a lot too about little kids and getting home at the end of the day and just putting my phone in a drawer and, playing with my kids, I think, is not that that's leadership. I mean, it's leadership at home, but I think that's the best thing I can do to be recharged and ready to go the next day.
Well, it is leadership, not only at home, but leadership, to your point just now, and with the company, is that if you're constantly – look, that stuff is it's not only a time suck, but it will drain you. Depending on what you're looking and reading and all of those things, it will drain you emotionally and mentally. And so if you're staying up till 2 in the morning reading comment sections, which is – I don't advise anyone do that. But you're going to come in the next day and you're not going to be the best version of yourself, which right. is what, as a leader, the people you're leading deserve from you.
Yep.
So I think that's a valid point. And, you know, when it comes to your kids, you know, that is a leadership role. All of us are CEOs of our home because we lead our homes. And so, like, you know, my grandchild lives with me, and she'll be sitting there watching something, and then she'll periodically turn and look at you. And if you're on your phone,
yeah,
well, she'll go do what she wants.
Yep.
So she knows, like, oh, that equals I'm cleared hot. I can do whatever
right.
I want. So they
right.
do notice those things. But yeah, you know, I could just tell you from a personal level, watching you from day one CEO trip, which is when you and I began our more direct interaction. I mean, obviously we interacted a lot as COO, but direct interaction to now, light and day different, or, you know, it's night and day different, light and day. It's dumb, but night and day different. And you remember one of the first critiques I gave of you, was when you're in a meeting and you obviously analyze this yourself. Like, I'm a younger person here. I don't have the experience in this room. One of the critiques I gave was like, that's your meeting, man. Own that meeting. And we'll respect you because of your position and who you are.
I think that – I remember that, and I think that that's another challenge in leadership, is trying to get feedback. And I think that prior to this role, it's easier to get feedback when you're – but getting, you know – a group of people that report to you to give you feedback on what you're not doing well, it's not an easy thing. So a lot of that's in self-reflection. You had a good comment at that point. And, you know, a lot of times, like with running a meeting, it's – I think an agenda is helpful, set an agenda. I usually open up with to set where the direction we're going. But then back to listening, you know. Like we were in a meeting the other day with some – exciting planning for the future, and we had an incredible group of people pulled together, and just to sit back in the room and look at that was our fishing department, and the group of guys that was in there, whether it was your background in safety, and then now this digital technology, and then we brought in your partner Ryan with his digital experience, and then what we can do with our fishing knowledge,
hundreds of years of experience.
Right. So that was a conversation on the last podcast. Is trying to aggregate that knowledge, I think we've got some confidential information for the future, but it's exciting what we're working on.
Well, what's exciting about it is that it's not just something that we are talking about doing. It's, you know, we did discuss that aggregation of tribal knowledge in the last podcast, and it's so many times you see this in companies, and especially smaller companies that may not have the manpower or resources to pull it off, where they'll have a fantastic idea and they'll know this needs to be done, and then it just sort of goes away. So being intentional about it and following through is definitely something that is a strength at Wildcat, and a strength out of our management team, and obviously you're leading that, and so that's a strength of yours as well. But yeah, that's something that we're actively working to do, and it was an interesting meeting because you've got a lot of guys that are, you know, just to boil it down, like a lot of analog type guys and a lot of digital type guys, and then trying to figure out how those guys go together, and I think it went well. I think that's the way that this, if you truly are going to gather information and aggregate tribal knowledge to pass along, it's going to take figuring out how to mesh those two worlds.
Yeah, and I think that we're at such a unique time and it's evolving so quickly, but the topic of this conference was the AI, and I think that's new to Thrive this year, and the big data phrase has been thrown out for a few years, but now people are finally able to quickly process that, and so we want to be a part of that, and I think we are doing a good job of it.
I think we are too, and I think it's going to be something we see others do. And I asked the question this morning of a guy, we were standing talking about AI stuff, and I asked him, I said, do you think it's going to make us more efficient, better, or is it going to make us lazy? So I'd love to get your take on that. Do you think it makes us better, or you think it makes us lazy?
You know, right now it's opening opportunities that we haven't had because of our size. So I think that for what the purposes that we've used it for, that you used it for, it's opening, new realms of research and knowledge. And I don't think it's making us lazy, but I could see, where a generation ago, you know, my dad and his dad could remember the directions to a motel they went on vacation a decade ago, and I can't even tell you how to get back to my house because we rely on our phone maps. So I'm sure that there'll be an evolution like that where if it becomes integral to the business, you know, today AT&T is out. So I was thinking, am I going to be able to Uber to the airport because I'm on AT&T? Is it going to track me? Is it going to be able to bill me? Is it going to let me put it through the app?
They'll for sure figure out how to bill
they'll
you.
They'll bill
you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I just, you know, loop that in because it's like the more reliant we become on technology, it can be a crutch and not. But for now, I think we're exploring the opportunities more than.
I agree. But I do think that what you'll end up happening is you'll have people that are already highly motivated, people that are, you know, people that are drive hard drivers. Those people will use it, and they'll become more efficient, and it'll be a force multiplier for them. Then you're going to have people that are lazy that use it, and I think you'll be able to tell the difference in the use of the platform between those two. And so I think it'll have a natural sort, just like everything else does. But to your point, what's funny is I can remember my childhood phone number, like hard line phone number, but I could not tell you what my daughter's phone number is right now.
Yeah.
Because it's in my phone.
Different. Yeah, just.
So you're right. But I don't necessarily think that's a lazy thing.
Your brain power just being used another for other things, I guess.
That's the way I tell myself. Yeah. That's the way I convince myself.
We're all just getting stupider, or we're adjusting our
I freed my brain. I freed that part of my brain up for other things. But yeah, I just thought it was an interesting question this morning that came up just in a casual conversation. You know, do you think AI is making us lazier, or will make us lazier or make us more efficient? And I think right now we're in the beginning phases of figuring out just exactly how powerful it can be, at least at Wildcat, and me personally, just that journey. And I whenever I get a hold of something like that, I can't consume enough material on it.
Right.
And there's so much content out there. So in a way, that's great. In another way, it's hard to figure out which one is applicable to what I need it to do.
Yeah, I think it's also going to level the playing field, where I think in some areas, especially around data, Wildcat's been a bit behind the eight ball. We're on technology platforms, software platforms to run the business, but we haven't done a good job of analyzing our data and using that efficiently. But I don't think at this point we need to go back the last 5 years and catch up with what some of our bigger competitors have been doing, because I think AI just already kind of plugs you in. It tells you where you need to be.
I agree. I do think that if done, I'll have to do some research on it, but if you're done correctly, you could almost take the data that you've gathered over, from inception to now,
right,
whatever you have. And if in my simple brain, you dump it in there and it does all of that aggregation for you, because companies ahead of us have built that structure. And
right,
to be real, like ChatGPT is just, it just scrapes the internet for all the information about whatever you've asked it to,
yep,
do. So if that information is out there and exists, then you should be able to capitalize on someone else's hard work,
right,
essentially.
Yeah.
And then modify that. So that's I think the correct term is innovate.
Innovate.
Innovate that, right?
Yes.
I didn't do anything to your stuff. I innovated it. One of the things that we talked about before we came over here that I find is kind of an interesting time in our industry. Are you seeing these mergers of these majors and mid-majors into these giant conglomerate companies? And when you look at that and you're like, as a service company, you always get a little bit tense about those things, because you just never know which end of the thing you're, even if you have two of your strong customers merging, you never know what's going to happen. So when you look at that, and I know you're a finance guy at heart, and so you look at that stuff pretty intensely, what are you looking at, and how are you analyzing those things, and how are you sort of adjusting your thought process around those types of things? Because I think it's just going to continue.
I do too. To be honest, I've got competing thoughts about it. I mean, I think to some extent we're going to not to some extent, we definitely will continue to see this this roll up of companies, and I think we do need to move to this more manufacturing style model in the EMP space, and then how we plug in and serve them.
What do you mean by that, the more manufacturing style model?
Well, it's been a conversation for a few years now that if oil's 40 or 90, we need to have a line of sight into the future and keep rigs at a relatively flat rate and provide a similar cost structure. That's been the narrative, and I think that for the most part, our customers have shown that as where there was a lot of bulls 18 months ago, and oil never got to the heights that they were predicting. And then, this year we're looking at a pretty flat year, hopefully. Costs have been rising on the server side. I think some of those inflationary pressures have softened. But I think that making these, the bigger the companies get, the more that's achievable. You are going to run into some problems with the Fed. I think we're already seeing scrutiny with Oxy and CrownQuest and Exxon and Pioneer, and so how much does the government allow us to roll up, or not us, not me, but the
right,
our customer base?
How much intervention they play in the whole thing?
Right. Yeah. And then I think there's still the, maybe it's a stubbornness, but I'm still pretty convicted in that Midland mentality that we talked about last time. I've got so many, you know, friends of mine in Midland and in Houston and Dallas that are smarter than me and out hustling every day, and like there's not enough room for them to all run Exxon and Chevron. So like they're going to be convincing these new big companies of reasons why they should spin off acreage, and there's going to be this. It might not be the private equity boom that we saw in 2016 as we built up the shale play, but there's going to be this smaller operator mentality, especially in the Permian, for a long time. So from Wildcat's perspective, we want to work for everybody, especially, well-capitalized smaller operators and then the big guys. So we're in a good position with Exxon and Chevron being some of our biggest customers. But then we also are on the other side of a lot of these mergers too. And you just got to keep our standard of operating high. We've got to always work for excellence. I think we've moved away from a lot of the well servicing space, especially in fishing, is a lot of mom and pop and pop up companies. And we're fortunate to have the track record we do now, and already have a reputation with these bigger aggregators, so that we can be of service to them in the future.
I wonder if, too, to your point, you're seeing these, like you said, your friends that work for these companies, and they start seeing, like, man, if you spun this acreage off and we set up, a new co over here, I wonder if it almost creates another, like, business model where you go out, you acquire, you do some smaller operating with the expressed purpose or intent of being kind of rolled up into that bigger conglomerate.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I think that people chase the money, and so right now I don't think anyone's scared that there's not going to be someone to buy them on the E&P side.
It certainly doesn't seem like
service seems like a different model right now. But if you're if you can put some drillable tracks together and start an operating company in the in the Midland or Delaware Basin, you've got some buyers.
Sure. Yeah. And even if you don't have buyers, you've got production.
Yep.
So if you do it well, you can cash flow it until you're ready to go.
Well, I think that's a much healthier place the industry is in. And maybe back towards the manufacturing comment, where all our customers are operating towards cash flowing. And that wasn't always the case. I think for a long time, Wildcat was rode this tidal wave, and we got to the size we are today because of it. So the timing was fortunate, but of the shale play will pay out in the future. But right now, we just got to keep climbing rigs and keep production growing to this eventual turnover of cash flow. And then I think that there was a time where it got really hot with before the parent-child well relationship was really understood, and now there's a better idea of the geology, and people understand that really well, and they know what the service cost needs to be for them to operate for a long time. And so I think we've pared down rigs, so the runway's longer now, and so it's a good spot for businesses like Wildcat, where we're going to maintain production and serve our customers the best we can.
You're going back to, our conversation around technology and aggregating data and stuff, going back to that meeting we had last week, and you're sitting in that room with, like you said, myself and Ryan, who runs 40 Wolves Studios in Midland, and, his background isn't oil and gas at all. So it was great to have him there. One, so he could understand from our perspective what we're trying to achieve, and then two, he asked some critical questions around it that were just asked out of ignorance, but that's an invaluable thing in my experience to have in a meeting like that, because you can have hundreds of years of experience doing something a way that thinks that's the way to do it. But as we go forward, one of the things that struck me in that meeting was you can take AI, all the technology in the world, you can have the greatest chatbot in the world spit answers out to you. But listening to those guys talk about being able to put their hand on a piece of pipe and tell you what's happening thousands of feet downhole, you'll never replace that.
Right.
And so when you think about that, yes, tribal knowledge is important. Yes, capturing that information is important. We've still got to somehow capture that tactile experience of, especially on the fishing side, which is, you know, not everyone can do, but that tactile, real world, I'm standing here doing this, has got to be transferred too. And I think that's going to be a piece that, because technology becoming so available, I think there's a risk of companies missing that piece and just focusing on the technology side.
Yeah, I mean, the oil field's built on people, great people, and Wildcat has done a great job. Our success has been 100% due to the people that Aaron was able to bring together, and I've tried to continue that, and yeah, we're in the people business, which is a cliche that I think a lot of companies say, but you know, I think in the energy space, we can talk AI and we can talk automation, and we're in the middle of some really cool projects in both those realms. But you know, the biggest focus of mine is this tribal knowledge, and how do we pass that on to the next generation to keep operating for the future.
Right, and those projects that we're involved in that are exciting, and they're gonna be revolutionary for Wildcat, and you hope that they're as big in our in application as they are in our minds. But those are wholly dependent on people.
Sure.
So if you don't have the right people, even if you turn out an amazing product, it's not gonna be great.
Right.
So I think you're not wrong, and you're absolutely right when you say Wildcat. It is a cliche to say we're in the people business, but we are, whether it's our own people or whether it's the customer that we're providing a service to. And, you know, part of an event like Thrive is it gives you the opportunity to interact and have those conversations. And so how's your experience been this week here? And what did you hope to get out of it? And then did you get that out of it?
It's been a good conference. I think the DEP team just keeps getting better and better. All these events are great, and we love supporting them and participating. You know, I think I got exactly what I wanted out of it. I think we this year have some unique projects, and we wanted to have conversations with people who are maybe a step or two ahead of us in those areas. And so what a better way than to walk this suite level and talk to vendors and customers alike. We had great customer conversations. I think that's the biggest key for me is that this event brings both the service and the E&P operators together, and it's been really beneficial. Been a good event.
One of the critiques someone said to me during the kickoff event Tuesday night of this was that, you know, every year we see the same speakers over and over and over again. And I don't see that as a liability. So for me, I see it as a strength because I'm getting to hear that person's perspective over multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's advantageous rather than just, you know, a soundbite here or there. So thinking through that, you know, you're talking about this constant feed of content that we get. We're almost getting trained to think about everything in 45-second soundbites. I hope we never lose the art form of being able to listen to somebody talk year over year and allow them to have their perspectives change.
Yeah, and I think I'll push back on that a little bit. I mean, I think I've sat in more of these conference rooms that John's put together than most, and there's some familiar faces, but he does a really good job of bringing in different speakers and different people. I mean, it's a small industry in the end, so I mean, when you're bringing in the leaders of Conoco and Schlumberger, I mean, there's not another Conoco and another Schlumberger.
When you're bringing in prominent leaders, there's only so many of those.
Right. I mean, at Pebble Beach last year, they brought in the CEO of Caterpillar, and that was a great conversation. They have so much going on outside of oil and gas, and so much going on automation and self-driving tractors, and I mean, that was a really interesting speaker. But in general, I think your point's right that this conference has evolved, and you know, even the participation in investors grows every year, and it's good to see that from the 2021 year to now how the energy space is in a little bit more favorable position, and kind of like the evolution from the big data topics to how that's now AI or you know, we were originally talking about electrification, and now that's such an integral part of the, especially the frac. So you do get a view of how the industry is changing through attending these type events.
I agree. And what's also interesting is it's given us an opportunity every year. And I don't know if you've ever put this together, but like when we have our planning sessions and things at the beginning of the year, and then Thrive is in February, it almost reaffirms or places some doubt on where your planning is headed. So like in this case, you know, like you mentioned, AI actually is a topic this year. It hasn't been in years past. It's something that we're beginning to utilize and try to bring in an integral way to what we're doing. It almost reaffirms that, okay, we're on the right path here, because there are multiple organizations that are multiples bigger than ours that mm-hmm. are thinking that way. So for me, it's great to see that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on. I mean, the cadence of this event in the year, being in February is a great time to, you know, the year's still young. We don't know what 2024 looks like.
No, we don't. And it'll be a while before we do. But yeah. But you just make your best guess and you go forward. But, man, I thank you for your time. I know you're going to fly out here in just a bit. So you've got a few other people you want to talk to, I'm sure. And I could talk to you forever. It's great to have the time. But thank you for being a part of it before. Thank you for your time today. Just sit here and kind of have a different discussion on some topics that we kind of dig into and learn. Your perspectives on were invaluable for me, and I know other people as well.
Yeah, no, I appreciate everything. Having me on and everything you're doing for the industry, and this has been great.
Awesome. Thanks. Well, safe travels back to Midland, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
All right.